You're with Sounds Good, our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Austin Carter, joined in studio by Kate Lochte and by phone with the Land Between the Lakes Woodland Nature Station lead naturalist, John Paulpeter.
Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing, Kate?
I'm doing well, and I'm over being sort of disgusted by armadillos, having learned something about them in preparation for speaking with you.
I think I know what it is.
So, you know, the thing that I really like most about them that I've learned today is that they would eat, if I had them, they would eat the yellow jackets.
That is correct. They do love to eat, like, social insects like yellow jackets and bees and wasps and ants. And that's mainly what they do eat out there in the wild is insects. But they'll eat some plants and some other things, too. But insects is their big thing.
And they have funny teeth. They have, like, teeth that grind the insects up for them?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times people always joke about them being possums on the half shell, and actually they're not even closely related. I mean, except for being mammals, they're not really closely related to possums. They're related more to anteaters and sloths and other armadillos, of course. And they have these peg-like teeth, about 16 of them, and that they use to help grind up any of the insects that they do find.
And they are... Now, this just blew me away. Armadillos always have quadruplets?
Yeah, they have. They're one of the weird things about armadillos, and I think one of the more fascinating things, too, is some of the reproductive, reproduction. And the fact that they have, every time they have babies, they have four identical babies and all of the same gender, too. So one fertilized egg will split into four pieces, and then that will be the litter for that particular year. And armadillos, as you can imagine, are pretty good parents. So that's why we see so many of them nowadays, because many of them do survive.
What determines the gender?
Just the same things, you know, just a random chance of which chromosome hits what and stuff like that. So,
but they're all the same gender.
Yeah, because it's coming from the same fertilized egg.
That's strange.
Weird, isn't it? Yeah.
Now, the other thing that strikes me, and this is what won me over, is that armadillos and humans aren't like, they don't bond very well, and armadillos might like jump up 6 feet in the air if disturbed by a human being.
Well, you know, one of the unfortunate things about poor armadillos is it is kind of a funny little trait. I'm sure if you go on YouTube, you'll find all sorts of hilarious videos about armadillos jumping when you scare them because they have poor eyesight and not so great hearing. Their main sense of smell. And so often one of the strategies for them to survive is that they will pop up. And, like, so, you know, if you're out west and, like, a cougar or a coyote or a bear, you know, happens to come upon, or a human comes upon an armadillo, one of their strategies for survival is they'll jump straight up. Now, this becomes a problem, and this is why we see so many armadillos hit on the road, is that when they get scared, what they do is they jump up when the car hits instead of maybe the car going, you know, on top of them, and maybe, you know, they get lucky and go in between the wheels. They jump up, they hit the grill or they hit the underside of the car, and it tends to be more fatalities for them.
That's sad.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you know, they're just one of those animals that just don't do well with modern human society and civilization. But on the other hand, there's not that many things that eat armadillos, and so they kind of keep that control on them. Besides weather, maybe coyotes, maybe a dog, cars do keep their numbers in check to some degree.
So you just mentioned eating them, and that sort of leads into this whole notion of you can get leprosy from armadillos.
Yeah, that's the number one question. That seems to be the thing that gets spread around the most. And it is true. They do carry leprosy. They're one of the few animals that do have that tendency. It is a very small population that probably carries it. It's, you know, most of the readings that I have come across is that a small population in central Florida has had it. This is naturally occurring in them. Now, I don't want anybody to go out there and get scared, and, you know, if they see an armadillo in their yard and all of a sudden they start calling the CDC. that's nothing for us to worry about. Really, the people that kind of come across it, if they're going to get leprosy from an armadillo, what happens is they have prolonged exposure to it. Maybe they decide to adopt one from the wild as a pet. Maybe they care for injured ones and have, you know, come across a lot of them, or in some cases, people that have found it interesting to eat them, probably that's probably not a good idea.
So I always think of armadillos as living in really, really warm, consistently warm places, but they do live in LBO.
Yeah, actually, they do live in a lot of warm places. They are not very well adapted for cold weather. These last two winters that we've had that have been late in February have been very hard on armadillo numbers. It just comes at the wrong time of the year when their fat reserves are kind of gone. So they don't have a lot of hair. They do have some hair, but they're dependent upon their fat reserves because you're not going to find a lot of insects in the winter. And deep holes. And if you've ever been to Mammoth Cave, you know that Mammoth Cave, even in the winter, is a pretty reasonable temperature. So ground temperature, if you get to a certain level, is pretty manageable. But the key is, can you survive through those cold times until it warms up where you can go get food? One of the best times, oddly enough, to see armadillos inland between lakes is in January. If you drive some of our back roads during the day, I guarantee that you're probably going to run across one or two armadillos if the weather is above 40 degrees.
Now, you said another key word there, hair. I did not know that armadillos had hair.
Yeah, it's very, very fine. If you were to, touch an armadillo, say you were into a zoo or something like that, and you rubbed their shell or something like that, you would feel this fine little bits of fur on them. And underneath in certain areas, like near their feet and stuff like that, and their legs, you'll find a little bit more hair. But they are a mammal, and they do have some hair that probably doesn't do them any good except minor insulation. That's probably it.
And the shell itself isn't a hard shell, really. It's all the bands are connected by a soft skin.
That's right. There is definitely a toughness to it because it is a protective shell, but it is a flexible shell, and it's not like what you would expect from, like, say, a turtle or something like that. The nine bands kind of form this shell, and it gives them a lot of flexibility. So if you ever were to touch an armadillo, it has a lot of pliability to it. I've rescued several from the highways, you know, they've gotten hit, and taken them to wildlife rehabilitators, and I'm always surprised at how much flexibility there is in that armor.
And I saw a certain kind of armadillo that will roll up in a ball, and I had no idea that what was it I read? They were actually like the poster child of the soccer matches last year because they look like a soccer ball when they roll.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, armadillos are originally from South America, and when the continents came together, they kind of were able to move into North America along with possums and a few other animals, and we gave South America a couple of our animals. And so there are a lot of species of armadillos that you'll find in South America. The one that you're kind of referring to is a three-banded armadillo, which is found in Brazil. And they are one of the ones that actually rolls up into a tight ball. The nine-banded one, which is with one we have, can only do like a half circle. It can't truly – it can protect its belly and protect its head, but it can't really completely roll into a ball.
And I had never known about the pink hairy armadillo.
That's
so cute.
Armadillos are actually very cute animals. I mean, they're kind of one of those.
It's a pink fairy. Cases, I said hairy,
so
but
ugly,
it's fairy.
Cute, yeah. You know, kind of thing. And the one that you're referring to, I think the pink fairy armadillo is found in the Andean Mountains, where it's a little bit chillier in the evenings, and so they had to have a lot more insulation. And once again, there you go. It's got hair, so it's proving that it's part of the mammal, part of mammals.
Well, John Paul Peter at Woodlands Nature Station, who'd have thunk we could talk for 10 minutes about armadillos, huh?
Oh, there's so much more. I encourage anybody to read up on them. They're a fascinating animal, and don't be afraid of them. I mean, I wouldn't eat them or keep one as a pet, but, they're just going to be part of our ecosystem here in Kentucky.
Thanks for being here today.
No problem. I'm glad to help.
You're with Murray State's 91.3 WKMS. We sound good because of listeners like you.